This is Twit.
Apple announced new MacBook Pros, and
they're very expensive.
They range in price from $1,800. You could, if you loaded it up, get all the way up to $7,000. Most of that's because they now offer a 4 terabyte SSD.
I was going to say, I was shocked at the restraints you showed by actually not maxing out with the 4 terabyte SSD.
I didn't max it out. I decided to get a 1 terabyte SSD, but I've been waiting for i9 laptops, and there are a couple of them out already. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are more to come. This is an Intel chip that is kind of an odd chip. It's an 8th generation chip. That means it's what, Coffee Lake? I think it's Coffee Lake.
Let's not even.
Basically, it's a little bit of a Xeon somebody's selling, right?
Well, it's frustrating because it seems like they've smeared
Intel's having a hard time getting to 10 nanometers.
Yeah.
So what they've done, and it, you know what? I think we're really getting close to the end of
They've done
law.
Everything they can.
But one of the things, the previous Apple laptops had 2-core i5s and 7s and 3 and 6, 2-core and 4-cores. Mm-hmm. This is the first time they had a 6-core. So by adding more cores, you get more performance, right? But you also get a lot more heat. These processors, the i9 in here, are... like all of the modern Intel processors, speed step driven. That means the clock speed goes up and down depending on demand. In this case, the nominal speed is 2.9 gigahertz, and it'll go all the way up to 4.2, I think, or 4.3 if needed. Now, I'm giving you an example right now. I'm running on this a bunch of things. I'm watching a Netflix video. I've got a little handbrake going. Should I just run the little handbrake compressor here? Well, actually, I'm not going to do that quite yet. The main reason I got this is because Lightroom was so slow for me loading raw images that I couldn't really go through my raw images. It has made a big difference. And look, I have running what Intel calls a power gadget. By the way, they've pulled this down, the power gadget. Let me move it a little bit over so you can read it. You can't download the Mac version of this anymore. That started last night. No one's sure exactly why. Maybe they don't want YouTubers to be doing anything with it. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with it. But as you can see, the bar on this power gadget is the nominal speed of 2.9 gigahertz. It's running right now 375. And as I do things, as I run through images and so forth, it'll go up and down a little. But it's staying above the line. And this is what I'm looking for. I'll run my compiler, too. I have a little program I wrote that goes through the dictionary and counts the most frequent letters. It takes about half a minute to run. As it's running, again, you can see the core's going up. It's throwing a little juice at that. The power consumption's going up.
Yeah.
The temperature's also going up. 99 degrees is about the most you'd ever want Celsius out of a processor. Any hotter than that, that's boiling water, kids.
Back in the day, right, we used to have issues with literally frying processors. We would overheat the processor.
So they don't want to go that fast.
Well, they don't. What happens now is that when the processor gets to a certain point, it goes, too hot, and it throttles back down.
Right.
And part of what's interesting about this Coffee Lake processor, this Core 9 processor, is one of the things they'll do is, it's TVB, which is kind of like the next jump past Turbo Boost. And the idea is that thermal velocity boost will allow you to bump up 200 megahertz in clock cycles to take care of opportunistic or to basically throw power at problems, but only if the processor is at 50 degrees Celsius or below.
You don't want to get too hot. You want to protect the processor.
You're not actually doing a lot of work. What temperature is your processor running
at
again?
Like I said, it got to 99. Right now it's at 90 degrees Celsius. But notice, it is running, and this is my point here. It is running at 3.9 gigahertz. It's running above its rated speed. It is doing what I wanted it to do. It's compiling about as fast as an iMac Pro.
Okay.
It is running through my RAWs. It is at the same time running a video. Now, when Dave Lee did his review on YouTube, he was compressing for 30 minutes a Premiere Pro that used the GPU and the CPU 100%, and he noticed that the processor slowed down because it got hot, right?
Right.
That's called throttling due to heat, and it's what the processor is supposed to do to protect itself.
Yes.
The question people ask, and this is, I think that you correct me if I'm wrong, but to me the fundamental question
this is where the fighting starts.
Is it worth the money? Am I, in my day-to-day use, going to get a faster processor?
Right.
Is it going to give me what I need? And as a photographer, it does. It gives me a lot better performance on a pig of a program called Lightroom. On the other hand, if what you want to do is a lot of rendering in Premiere Pro, you're not going to get your money's worth. It's actually going to be slower than an i5 processor.
So one of the things, and what's interesting about this with the Core i9 is some Dell customers have complained, some gamers have complained on Reddit. We've got the complaints about this.
And this is nothing new. I've seen this with i7s and Lenovo's last year and things like that.
And it's been a problem with a lot of basically, the thinner the laptop is, the less thermal capacity the laptop has.
And this is thin.
Especially if it's a fanless laptop. Like, the worst ones are some of the Surface Books.
This does have a fan, but it doesn't have much of a vent. Yeah. This is the vent right here, right below the screen. And Apple is really prioritizing aesthetics here. I agree with you.
Yeah,
and they are selling these at a premium price for a professional user who wants more power.
So what would be interesting for me is if you had the 2.2 gigahertz one that was considerably less expensive, would that deliver the same performance boost that you are feeling with your Lightroom
application?
Well, it's
not rated to go up to 4 gigahertz, which this one is. Mm-hmm. So I am, as you can see here, living. Now, let me show you what's going to happen. The minute I run, I already am. The minute I run Handbrake, look at that. It is now below its nominal, and it's going to go up and down. That's because it's getting hot. And the processor, it's really getting work. Now, it didn't do it right away.
Right.
It took about 30 seconds.
Part of what happens
is... So for bursty kinds of activities like reviewing photos, compiling software...
Small compiles.
Well, if it's a half an hour, but you know,
I mean, I have friends that do actually regularly on almost a daily basis run compiles that take 15 to 45 minutes.
Well, one thing you're going to notice is they're going to take less time.
Yes.
And I
hopefully.
Think that yeah. But I think that most of the time we're doing incremental compiles that aren't that long. If you have to rebuild the whole thing, that's true. The author of Geekbench, for instance, one of the big benchmark utilities, did a batch 10 times he compiled Geekbench, and he was able to get this same throttling here. Mm-hmm. But no one is going to compile the same program 10 times in a row.
But one of the cases I ran into, a friend of mine spent $3,200 on a new mic. I want to say a Surface Book. Right, and he was like, "This is really slow." I'm like, "What do you mean it's really slow? You know, it's got the fastest processor. It had 16 or 32 gigabytes. Right, it was a well configured machine, but because it got so badly thermally saturated so quickly, I actually had a 2-year-old $1,500 laptop that would outperform it.
That's the question: is are you getting your money's worth? And I think to some degree it depends on what you're doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can see now the kind of flapping that Dave Lee was seeing. And tell us what the temperature on the outside is. That's one thing you will notice. This laptop gets fairly hot both in your lap and at the keyboard.
Well, that's actually down. It's only 112.
Yeah. You know why? Because it's not running at full speed.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
We had it up to 150. The keyboard was up to 115 degrees before.
Right. For the kind of bursty work I do, photography, compiling, running movies, in fact, multiple processes at once, it's been great. It's been running well above the nominal speed. When you're doing something like Handbrake or Final Cut, I'll actually stop this. Or Premiere. Now, I have a little bit of a question of how well Premiere is optimized. Let's just add a curiosity. Now, by the way, notice as soon as I stopped Handbrake, the CPU... immediately went right back up to above rated to almost 4 gigahertz. It's now at 3.74.
I'm always curious.
As soon as it's not thermally, it's very quick to respond.
One of the things that's difficult when a new processor comes out, but when a new laptop comes out, is you probably don't have access to all the different configurations. And it would be a very interesting story to me if someone, you know, went through and took a look at the difference, the 2.2 gigahertz, the 2.6 gigahertz, the Core i7, the Core i9, and looked at the performance of all of those.
So I'm now doing a Final Cut transcode.
Mm-hmm.
It does jump up immediately to a higher speed.
Mm-hmm.
We're over 4 gigahertz right now. I expect, though, as the thermals go up, the temperature goes up, that the speed will go down and protect the chip. So, but for 15 or 20 seconds, we're getting a considerably improvement in speed. There's one other thing I'd point out. This has a discrete GPU, a Radeon 560 in it, but you can buy, for an additional $700, and I guess my point also, this parenthetically, professionals are willing to spend more because these are work tools for them.
Yes.
So they may say, you know what, I'm going to max this out. I'm going to get the eGPU. I'm going to get an iMac Pro. I'm going to get whatever I need because I make money on this. But let's disconnect right now. I'm going to disconnect the Thunderbolt or the HDMI, and I'm going to connect the eGPU. One of the neat things about this eGPU is as soon as you connect it, it goes in. It's a 580. It's a considerably faster, and I'll take the HDMI and put it in here. It also becomes a dock, right? So it's got USB and all that stuff.
While we're talking about the MacBook Pro, we should also point out you cannot upgrade the hard drive on this.
You can't upgrade anything on this.
You cannot upgrade the GPU in this.
You can't upgrade this. Although, for $700, you get a nice-looking dock.
Yeah.
You get, and this gets fairly hot fairly quickly, too. I don't know if I see any benefit from it, but what I do
you might
notice,
have to you might have to restart the run to actually...
I will restart because it's done, and we never did... This was a short enough, you know, under a minute transcoding, or render, I guess it is, in Final Cut. We never did really have to gate it down. Let me run it one more time and see what happens now with the eGPU. Oh, it's still doing something. Maybe I'm not done. I thought I was. On the line, we got somebody who actually probably knows a little bit more about this than I do anyway. Mike Worthley is here from Apple Insider. And I saw recently, Mike, today on Apple Insider, you were performing similar tests. Tell us what you were discovering.
We're doing much the same thing that you're doing right there, and we're doing it with Final Cut Pro, we're doing it with Premiere, we're doing it with a bunch of other professional applications. You know, I'm going to tap my eGPU right here.
That's a real one. That's one that you can upgrade.
Well, there are pros and cons of both of that. This is much louder.
Yeah, this is virtually silent. Yeah.
I mean, I can hear it right now, and I've got everything in shutdown quiet mode for the show here.
Right.
So what we're running into is we're running into conditions where if there isn't a momentary pause like you're seeing in your Final Cut Pro rendering, then the processors are getting way too hot and they're throttling way below the advertised speed that Apple says the machine can deliver.
I've seen it go down
2.9 speed.
Yeah, I've seen it go down to just about a gigahertz. I mean, really slow.
Right. What I'd seen while you were running your last run on your power gadget there is about 2.2, and we were seeing about the same thing when we were using Cinebench 15.
Okay.
Now, we wrote about this on Wednesday, and there's been a lot of developments since then. John Poole, like you had mentioned, has already started talking about this again. He took a lot of flack about Geekbench unfairly, I think, in regards to this. I think, Patrick, I think you're right in many respects, and I think, Leo, you are as well. A lot of this depends on your workflow and what you're going to do with the machine. I think that if you know that you've got a four-hour video render, I think that you need to take that money that you're making after you've done that four-hour video render and get something like an iMac Pro.
I agree.
Or the Mac Pro that's coming next year at some point.
Although I have to say, some of the things I do, like the compile and run of that code, was almost as fast on this as it is on my 10-core iMac Pro. So
looks
this
like
is a nice machine if
there.
You're if for having portability. I know, Patrick. Hold on, he's going to burst a vessel. If portability is important, these are all. The point is, these are all things you have to weigh. But what you don't want to do is get ripped off.
I mean, the way we fixed this back in the day was leaving Final Cut, moving to Premiere, and running Windows systems because I can buy a very, very fast gaming laptop with a very, very loud fan and what may be questionable aesthetics that will actually run that has the thermal capacity to keep the processor running at the maximum speed. Because there are situations, I don't want to carry a desktop and a monitor to CES. I don't want to carry a desktop and a monitor to a field shoot. And that's what's frustrating is you know.
I'd say if you're a photographer and Lightroom is an issue for you because it's a pig, this has been a boon for me. And you can see now that it's just running Lightroom. It's running at 3.7 gigahertz. It's running well above. But as soon as I start doing the render on here, we're going to do it again. Watch what happens. Now, this is with the eGPU. So I'm curious to see if the eGPU makes any difference.
It's not going to, right now, unless you run a script called set eGPU, the eGPU is going to do nothing for you in Final Cut Pro.
Now, that's a big deal. Why is that? Is it using the internal GPU?
I wish I had a solid answer for you on that. It does appear that Final Cut Pro is mostly CPU bound at this point. It does hit the GPU on occasion. I do expect that there's going to be improvements to this in Mojave regarding how they handle eGPUs. There's been a lot of changes in the beta in regards to that. But do look up that set eGPU. What it does is it'll look across your system and activate eGPU support explicitly for everything you have
to
be, use
it. It's supposed to be turned on in High Sierra. You're absolutely right, Mike. It did not change the core performance at all. It looks
but it's a great dock, and you can play games with it.
Well, that's why should I get the eGPU then? Where will I see a benefit?
What we are seeing in some of our testing is if you are doing your graphics offload on what you're going to see now is the back of my monitor that I'm looking at here. If you're doing you're doing a lot of work on that with eGPU. Instead of loading up your GPU on your machine, you're loading up that instead, and you're improving the thermals just in that regard.
Let me try Handbrake. Do you think it will take advantage of the eGPU? Because that was what was really flapping.
Handbrake can. There's a couple of settings you'd have to delve into, and I don't have the exact location of those settings right now. Right. But you can use GPU processing on some builds of Handbrake. I don't remember if it's in the release or the nightly builds.
Look at the clock speed. It's the second window down. It's going down, baby. We're going down.
But that's what happens when you
look at the temperature. 99. Yeah. It's going to keep it. If it goes above 100, I'm selling this computer.
Oh,
it's going
to
keep it. The whole job of the Intel core.
It dropped the frequency down to 2 gigahertz.
Yeah, it's to keep it under 100. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, which is great. Exactly what the processor is supposed to do. Right. But wouldn't it be nice, since you paid how much for this laptop?
$4,000
Wouldn't it be nice for $4,000, they put maybe a little bit more fan in there, or maybe just... a little more room to move air over the processor.
That's really the question. Is Apple, you knew you were going to have a very hot situation inside here. Why didn't you do something about this?
Well, honestly, I think that they took Intel's promises in 2015 when they were designing this chassis to heart. And they said, well, we're going to be at 10 nanometer in 2 years. Don't worry about it. We're going to have much lower.
And they aren't, are they? No.
And they're not.
Yeah.
So
Apple is still 14, still 14 nanometers.
Apple took heat for 16 gigabytes of RAM in 2016 because Intel wasn't supporting LPDDR4 at the time, Apple decided it wanted to go with that RAM instead of DDR4. And now they've rectified that with a larger battery and DDR4 and a memory controller in the machine you're using right there. So I think Apple takes their manufacturers at face value, and when Intel promises them something, they expect they're going to get it.
They're learning a lesson. In fact, this just confirms what everybody suspects, which is that Apple eventually is going to go to their own processors and not rely on Intel for this.
I see that coming. Some of my colleagues at Apple Insider are not of the same view I am on that, and I it's a contentious subject.
Yeah.
But you got to remember that Apple's done this twice before. Patrick was talking about a 2CI. Not much later than that, they shifted to PowerPC, and another 12 years after that, they shifted to Intel. So
I still remember when they shifted to Intel. It was one of the last press conferences I was invited to before
mayhem.
The two of us managed to upset Apple and get off the list. But when I thought it was a terrible idea,
obviously it was the right thing to do.
Well, yeah, but when Steve made that announcement, there was just like, literally, like people around me, hundreds of people around me, it was just like they'd been gut punched.
Well, remember, Apple had spent the last 4 years saying why PowerPC was better than
Intel. Apple had spent the last 4 years manipulating benchmarks to prove that their RISC processor was outperforming Intel until they did the big switch.
So, Mike,
yes.
Bottom line this for us. What should somebody consider? Is it a bad idea to buy this?
I don't think it is. The i9 and the i7 machines do have significant gains over the 2017 model and a lot of gains over the 2016 model. What I'm actually recommending to people right now is the 32 gigabytes of RAM. You know if you need it, and if you don't think you need it, then you don't. Right. eGPUs I love, and I have loved for years, and they do a lot in a mobile environment where I can pack up this machine, I can run down into DC, do what I've got to do with the planning commission or whatever, looking at the next Apple store, and then I can come back and hook it up back to the eGPU, and I've got a horde of 4K monitors around me connected to that eGPU, one cable to everything. So what I'm suggesting to people is just do that, is go the eGPU route. If you think you need the i9, then get the i9. Most people don't. I think you would probably have the same luck going through the HEVC files with the i7, with the 6-core i7. This is totally work case. This is comes completely down to use case.
Right.
Do you think there's a possibility? I mean, because
notice, by the way, all 6 cores, 100%. Thanks.
No, I have no doubt.
They're being used heavily.
I mean, this is also a situation I'm in constantly, where you're in production mode, you're trying to get videos out, and I've seen, I've seen laptops that have really bad thermal solutions, take 1.5 times as long as considerably slower laptops to render a file because of the thermal issues. I'm curious, Mike, given that it took so long to get what I will affectionately call modern processors inside the MacBook Pro line, is there any chance they're going to do any redesign in the next year or two to adjust the thermals or to upgrade the thermals on this?
If you look back at the history of MacBook Pro case redesigns, you had the original design for the PowerBook G4, which evolved slightly into the Intel PowerBook, and then you were looked at. Then they went to the unibody, and now they went to the Retina MacBook Pro. So they get about 6 or 7 years out of each individual case design.
Right.
So I don't think we're going to see another improvement in this unless Intel says, again, they said, well, you know, gee, we're really sorry, and we're not going to make it for another X number of years. So these take a long time to gear up. We didn't get the first indication of the case redesign on the 2016 until April of 2016 was the first time we saw any sign of it out of China. And we're just not seeing anything even resembling a case redesign out of any of Apple's partners at all.
So interestingly, Handbrake does not use the GPU either internal or external at all. As soon as I stopped Handbrake, you see that the processor jumped up, but then as soon as I launched Final Cut, it dropped down again. Now it's coming back up as the thermals go away. Let me confirm that Final Cut is not using the GPU. We're going to redo this render here real quickly.
Laptops are pretty brutal environments for CPUs because they have all of this stuff wrapped very, very tightly around the CPU.
Right.
So as you thermally saturate the laptop, everything around it gets hotter and hotter and hotter.
The 580 is spinning up with Final Cut a little bit. And you see, as it spins up, maybe it's done now. Yeah, I guess it's done now.
It does hit the eGPU. I expect it will hit the eGPU more come Mojave in the next revision.
Okay. And I'll get that. Tell me again the name of the program we should download.
Well, there's a couple you should actually look at. There's set-egpu, which is a script, and you'd have to look it up. I don't have the URL handy right now. And there's another one that I'm starting to mess with, so I'm giving a little bit of a preview. If you do read Apple Insider, I'm starting to mess with a program called Volta.
Volta.
Which allows you to control the maximum power the chip can use, and it'll also control the voltage on the chip.
Interesting.
I'm going to say right now that this is not something that you just want to mess with because you can cause yourself massive problems.
Oh.
And if you are, do it very carefully and very slowly and read what you're doing before you do it, because I guarantee you that if you do something permanent, you are not going to get a warranty fix on this.
Let me state it bluntly. Mike's saying if you break it using Volta, it's your fault. It's not his fault. It's not Apple Insider's fault. It's not our fault. It's your fault. You own that one.
And I'll give a little plug. This is the Intel Power Gadget. You can't download it right now, and no one's clear why Intel took it off the site. And then I've also been using something you can download and install, and I recommend, called iStat Menu, and that's giving us the individual core performance and the eGPU performance. It's actually a nice little program.
Can we ask one question before you go?
Yeah, absolutely.
If we have sort of an A11, A12, A13, whatever it is, or whatever name Apple comes up with it, powered laptop to replace the Intel processors, when do you see that coming? I mean, obviously, it's complete conjecture, but...
Like with 2016, you've got to get the developers on board first.
Okay.
So we're going to get the first indication. I think we've already had the first indication. I think the first indication we had that this is being considered was this last WWDC where they announced the frameworks that were previously called Marzipan, in some other reports, where you could easily convert iPad apps to the Mac. I think that's the first step. I think that's the first step in getting developers to move over to these new frameworks that are going to make things easier. This isn't going to be a situation where one day Tim Cook comes out on stage and says, hey, look, a new Mac Mini, and it now has the A15 or whatever in it.
Right.
So the earliest I think this could happen is 2020, and I think it's going to happen at the low end, and it's only going to happen at the high end when people start screaming about it.
Very interesting. Mike Worthley from AppleInsider.com. We'll watch with interest your continued measurements on this. I take it you're not done, that there'll be more to talk about.
Oh, there's more to come.
Yeah. I guess, again, the bottom line is this isn't necessarily a bad purchase for the right use cases. It would be a dumb thing to do if what you want to do is long renders, long compiles, something that's going to be solidly blocking out that processor for length of time. You're not going to get the full throughput.
Yeah, be aware of your thermal conditions all the time. If you're using this on a blanket, you're probably making a mistake.
So use it on a blanket.
Consider what you've got your machine rested on when you're doing these long processing. And consider, you're right, you're talking about that vent there. It is very small, and consider what's there. And if you bring these machines into the Apple store periodically and say, hey, look, I need the dust cleaned out of this. Can you do this? Make the appointment and they will do it for you while the machine is under warranty.
No kidding.
And that's good preventative maintenance to get done.
That's a very good
Nothing
thing
worse than finding half a cat and half pound of goose down inside of your $4,000
laptop.
These
fans are an inch and a quarter across.
It
doesn't take much for it to start making a little bit of noise, and then you have a problem with airflow, and then you've got a real problem.
I did go out and buy the Apple fan control program, not an expensive program. Don't waste your money. Apple's automatic controls do as good a job, maybe better, than anything you might do by
one would
hand.
Hope.
Yes.
For now, stick with that. That's my recommendation as well. Don't go messing with fan speeds right now.
Don't go messing.
let's get a little bit more information out in the field first, and then we can figure out what the situation is.
And there is a real-world consequence to all of this. It's hot. The keyboard is hot. This is hot, even in normal operation. The fans go on very early. They're fairly loud.
It's down 8 degrees.
It's 107 degrees on my home row. And you're going to hear those fans right away. So if you don't like fan noise, if you don't want to type on a warm keyboard, this may not be right for you either. Thank you so much, Mike Worthley from Apple Insider.
Anytime. You know how to get me.